Go to the book of Nehemiah. Y'all may have heard this before, but how many know that repetition causes faith? Where is the book of Nehemiah? It's on page 660. I know that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many is ready? And it's like in that song, you've just been holding on, you've been holding on, and you hadn't seen change. And you've been going, you've been plowing, and you hadn't seen change. How many is ready for some change? Amen. How many know what you're supposed to do? Amen. Hold on. And I like what Paul told the church in Ephesus. He said, when you've done all to stand, what are you supposed to do? Stand. Don't sit down, stand. And look what Nehemiah chapter, what did I say? I think it's chapter 13 and verse 2. This is what the Amplified says. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2. This is the ability of our God. How many has ever thought at some time you were living under a curse? I mean, it's like, oh my, things hadn't changed. But look what God says. He says, for they met not the Israelites with food and drink, but hired Balaam to curse them. And I'm going to say, but. That word says yet. I'm going to say, but. Our God turned the curse into a blessing. Amen. Our God turned the curse into a blessing. And I like what Pastor said a while ago. The blessing came first. And I didn't look over, but I leaned over to Trish and I said, we're blessed to be a blessing. But you need to put yourself in that place to receive the blessings of God. But whatever you're going through, God can reverse it. God can turn it. God can and has the ability to change it. I heard Brother Copeland say this the other day, and I'm going to keep on saying it so much, I'm going to take it and leave him out of it. He said, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So if you're operating in fear, faith can't work. Faith cannot work. Why? Because love casts out all fear. So if you're operating in any kind of worry, any kind of fear, you cannot cash in on faith. It's impossible. And you can say, but the word says, but the word. No. But what is your heart attending to? Is your heart attending to the problem that you're in? Does that have more attention to you? Do you give that problem more attention than you do the word? Then faith won't work. Faith will not work. Amen. I remember this. This was, I don't know how many years ago. Maybe was it that Kelly's daughter had that meningitis. She was a child. She's a grown lady now, a grown woman now. But she was diagnosed, Kelly Copeland's daughter was diagnosed with meningitis to the point of death. To the point of death. And she was in the hospital. You know, the family gathered at the hospital there in Fort Worth. And we've heard this testimony time and time again. But I want to show you the power of God. They were in the hospital. And Kelly had opportunity to fear because her daughter was dying. She was right there at the door of death. And her sister came in. And I can't even think of her sister. Terry, I know her. Terry, her sister came in. Terry Pearson came in, you know. And she said Kelly walked up to her and looked her in the face and said there was anointing come over her. She said, I will not fear. I will not fear. Her daughter's laying in there dying. Oh, God, please help. No. Go to the word. Don't go to the problem. Whatever you're going through, don't go to the problem. Don't stay on the problem. Say, I will not fear God. You will turn this around for me. You will turn this for me. I refuse to fear. God's taking what was a curse and making a blessing out of it. And another story, real quick story. Mark Hankins' wife, Trina, had a brain tumor. And he stood. He did not fear. Didn't fear. I think his report is she went toward the operating room praying in tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost. They got in there. There was no tumor. He refused to fear. But what takes us over to fear? Our words. What we say. I know what the word says, but. You don't know what I'm going through, but. But God knows. We're not creatures of fear. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but we've been given the power of a sound mind. Amen? Amen. And there's something else goes with that.
Brother Hagin said, you can't stop the bird from flying around your head.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Brother Hagin said you can't stop the bird. You
but
can't
stop fear in your mind. You don't let it come in your heart.
That's right. And go back and go to what Mark chapter 11 says. If you believe in your heart. If you believe in your heart, it comes out of your mouth. He says, as long as you believe in your mind can play tricks on you. What is in your heart? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So if the garbage is coming out of your mouth, it's because there's garbage in your heart. If the unbelief is in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. If fear is in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. Somebody tell me how you get the fear out of your heart. Put the word in. Put the word in. How do you get worry out of your heart? Put the word in. I've given this example so many times. A glass full of water. Take a glass full of water. If you ever filled a water glass so full, what do they call that? A meniscus right on top? Is that the scientific name for it? And it almost looks like a bubble, but it don't quite run over. Have you ever done that? How many has never done that? How many couldn't care less? But you take that glass of water and you fill it to the full. Well, when it's bumped, what's coming out? Water. But if you got a glass this tall and this much water, there's a lot of doubt and unbelief. And fear in there. What's going to come out? Whatever's in the top level. So the more word of God that you put in you, church, you've heard this so many times. Amen. But the more of the word of God that you put in you, you put the word in you when you don't need it, it'll come out of you when you do need it. And I so love, I like what Tricia preached years ago, and has since. Build an ark in your heart. Build an ark in your heart. And this is another one of Brother Copeland says, I'm going to steal from him before long. He says, you're in the dark or you're in the ark. One or the other. You can be around people for a while, after a while, and you'll find out where their heart's at. You'll find out. They will identify where they are because of the words that come out of their mouth. That was not in my notes, but somebody needed it. And don't walk out of here and say, I didn't receive anything. Because I just gave you some nuggets that will help you and allow you to. I just gave you some building blocks and some foundation structure. Not if the wind comes, not if it rains, not if the flood comes, but when it comes, is your house going to stand? The flood didn't knock the house down. The lack of foundation causes the house to fall. Amen? And that's what Jesus said. He said, when it happens, when it comes. So what is your foundation? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. So I reckon the title of my message is, don't let go. Just hang on. Change will come. Change will come. Amen. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. In chapter 4. I'm giving you stuff that you probably got it underlined and what have you. But how many know it's time to begin to do something with it? Hebrews chapter 4, and let's look in verse 12. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is what it says. For the word that God speaks. Trisha told me the other day, she said, this is your favorite scripture. For the word that God speaks, now hold your place there. You ain't got to go to it. But Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. And a portion of that says, Amplified says, that God speaks. The word that God speaks, we see here in the book of Hebrews. Romans chapter 4 verse 17 says, God speaks. God says. God speaks of those things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. No fear here. No fear here. So whatever you're going through, if you're expecting to turn around, receive a turnaround. How many has ever driven down the highway with your wife in the car? And you're driving along and she says, you're going the wrong way. This ain't the way you're supposed to be going.
Well.
And I say, I know where I'm going. And it ain't where you think I'm going. This is funny. This used to happen. We finally got over it. Didn't we? Not long after we got married, you know. How many know the first couple of years is an adjustment year? The first couple of years is an adjustment year. Our little boy said, I spent a week there one day. Well, Trisha and I, we ride down the highway. And like I said, thank God we finally got over it. We're driving out and and talking about my driving. I said, do you want to drive? Yeah. I slam on brakes right in the middle of the road. I mean, if the girl wants to drive, she's going to drive. I hit them brakes. I get out of the car. I walk around, open her door in the middle of the road. Didn't wait till a turn off. She got out and drove. I wanted the girl to drive. Hallelujah. And then we went where she wanted us to go. So. Oh, Lord. But have you ever been going down the highway? And I'll get to this in just a minute. Have you ever been driving down the highway and you just in a unfamiliar country, unfamiliar territory. And you just drive along and say, I don't see any road signs. I just got the feeling we're going the wrong direction. Have you ever taken a route in the spirit? And knew you was going in the wrong direction, but yet you didn't turn? And God wants to turn it around? But yet, no, bless God, I'm plowing through. I mean, you just, and what's at the other end of your journey? Not what you expected and not what God wanted for you. The blessings weren't there. The harvest wasn't there. God wants us to go down his path. And if you look at, go to Ephesians chapter 2 and put that in verse 10. God wants us to go down the path he has got for us. Amen? So this is what the scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we're God's own handiwork. Isn't that good? Amen. Have you ever seen somebody put together, build? I like to see stuff built by people that know what they're doing, especially in wood. Trisha's father was a craftsman. We've got a grandfather clock in our house that he built. And built it from scratch. He planed all that stuff. He did all of it. And it didn't have a pattern there. Well, I'll put it this way. No. He built it. And he built probably 6 or 8 of them. And we've got the last clock he ever built before he went to heaven. We've got hanging on our wall. But he knew what he was doing. So we're His own handiwork. And you look at a piece of wood that somebody's carved out, and you see no flaws. And you look at something and you may see flaws. But when you look in the mirror, you see no flaws. Oh, you may see some, but as far as the spiritual part, you see no flaws. We're His own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. And here it is, that we may do those good works which God predestined, He planned beforehand for us. And here's what I want to talk to you about, taking paths. So if you know that you're going in the wrong direction, God, is this the path that you have for me? Is this the place I'm supposed to live? Is this the church I'm supposed to go to? Is this the job I'm supposed to have? Whatever it is, God has a path for you. And when you get on that path, the blessings are on the path. Pastor, they're not just at the other end. They're all along the way. You're receiving blessings along the way. God taking paths, He's planned beforehand, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. So when we know we're on the wrong path, when we know we're going in the wrong direction, what is God saying about it? Is God saying something to you about, okay, it's time for you to turn around? Yeah, but God, I won't. No. What does He? It may hurt. It may, when I say hurt, it may cause a strain. It may be a little bit uncomfortable, but He will turn you in the right direction. Living for God ain't always easy, but it sure is profitable. It's always profitable. That we should walk in, living the good life. If you ain't living the good life, you're not on God's path. If you're not living the good life, you're not on God's path. Yeah, but you don't know. Yes. Tricia and I have walked down some of those paths. But thank God we finally got on a good path. We were so broke we couldn't pay attention. Now you've heard that before. That wasn't even funny. It was. But get on the path that God wants you on, and you will live the good life. And it says, live the good life, which He has prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. God speaks. If you want something turned around in your life, if you want God to turn things around in your life, pay attention to what He says. How do you communicate with God? You communicate with Him in the Word, in prayer. Prayer is not a one-way street. Prayer is not a one-way street. Prayer is listening to what He has. Sometimes you just have to go in and get the Spirit to shut up all over you. Just let it come on you and shut your mouth. Sometimes you just need to go in there and sit down before you say anything. Say, God, speak to me. God, I have ears to hear and I'm listening. You can be driving down the highway. It happened to us the other day. We were driving down the highway and Trish said, whoa, I got this. This is what God said. Wasn't even thinking about. But our heart is always, our spirit man is always listening. And we need to be sensitive. And He'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. Amen? And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word that God speaks. The word that God speaks. What He's sharing is alive. The Word of God is alive and has a little bit of power. No, it's full of power. Making it active. God's Word is active. God's Word is operative. God's Word is energizing. If you're down in the dumps, get in the Word of God. I like I think it's Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, Amplified says, get yourself, this is my paraphrase, get yourself up. from the condition that has put you there. The circumstances have put you in a depressed attitude. God didn't put you there. So if God didn't put you there, don't stay there. You have the ability. I know, thank God they have medications to go for, but God has the best gospel. He has the best gospel. So when you feel oppressed, I refuse to stay in this oppressed state. I refuse it. I will not stay here. I will not get into this depression. I know I'm there, but I'm getting out of it. What did David do? The scripture said David encouraged himself. David encouraged himself. What did Paul tell Timothy to do? Oh, God, tell God to stir you up? No, he said, stir yourself up. And what does Jude 20 say? Stir yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. And what did Paul tell the church in Corinth that the holy praying in the Holy Ghost to do? It will encourage you. It will energize you. So the best thing you can do when you know you're in that, when you know you're in that depressed attitude, get out of it praying in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to stay there. How many has ever been depressed? Don't raise your hand. How many ever not been depressed? You can raise your hand. How many has ever not been depressed? Okay, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, we're going to have a healing line up here for because you must be in a depression. No, this is not long after I went through that stroke in 98. And Dr. Jones, how many know Dr. Russell Jones? He's my buddy. He said, Pastor Robbie said, do you feel depressed? I'm not depressed. Trisha said, do you feel? I'm not depressed. I'm all right. No. And he talked to me. He's a doctor. He's a teacher. He gave me a list, a page to fill out. And I answered them. I thought I answered all of them right. But my mind wasn't quite there. This stroke happened in August the 1st, 1998. And this was several months later. And he'd get in conversation with me and talk to me and give me a funny look, you know, like, what you looking at me so funny for? So he gave me this list of stuff, and I went down and I checked everything, and he read it, and he said, brother, he said, you're in a state of depression. I said, I know what state I'm in, and it's Virginia, and depression is not that. No, I didn't tell him that. I didn't even think of that. But he said, you're in depression. I didn't even know it. I didn't know it. But thank God you don't have to stay there. Amen. If you're in that place, God can turn it around. What do you need to do? Get in the Word of God and feel your heart full of the Word of God. And you don't have to stay. You can bump it, but you don't have to stay in. No. I know what that is. I know what that is, and I'm not going there. I refuse to go there. And just like you had a while ago, you just got to laugh at the devil. You just got to laugh at the devil. Amen?
Yes.
That was so funny. You just laugh at the devil. Why? Because the scripture said God is in the heavens laughing. God laughs with us. And the scripture also says that God sings to us. God sings to us. Do y'all remember years ago when we had the choir here? Several people on the platform and singing, it filled the house. I honestly believe that angelic host blended their voices. Amen. With the choir. How many remember that? Amen. Blended their voice. Heaven is singing to us.
Right.
Heaven is singing to us. The voice of God is singing to us. You can't stay in a depressed attitude knowing that. If you do, it's your fault, not God's. Amen? Hallelujah. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I think I'm about done, but not quite. Glory, glory, glory. Go to I'm going to go to Philippians, and I'm going to go to something else. Philippians chapter 4. Flip over to Philippians. Glenn, I love your life. I love it. I miss it. Oh, y'all are, hey, if y'all ever want someone to sing a happy birthday song to you, the Valentines have recorded their birthday song, and it's going to hit the market. I've got it recorded. It is on my phone. They've been singing happy birthday to me for how many years? Probably 20 years, 25 years. They catch me on my birthday night. I love to hear it. Can't understand it. But I like to hear it. Oh, glory. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look in verse 4. This is what the Amplified said. Y'all know it's very familiar scripture. But sometimes we just need to do this. It says, rejoice in your circumstances, in your adversity, in your problems, in your worry. Rejoice in your fear. Rejoice in the Lord occasionally when things are going just right. When everything's lined up. When you got more money in the bank. How many has had more money in the bank than you can stand? How many has had too much month and not enough money? When is the time you need to rejoice? When there's too much month and not enough money. Rejoice in the Lord always. If you rejoice, that means you had joy to start with. Amen. And what does Scripture say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And is not joy part of the fruit of the Spirit? So when you're born again, you have joy in you. We ought to act like it sometimes. Don't look like you just sucked on a sour persimmon. How many has ever tasted a green persimmon? Not a ripe, but a green persimmon. It'll turn your mouth wrong side out. Oh. How many like to bite into a nice green lime and sit there with a straight face? That's almost impossible, even if you like it. You can't do it. Well, sometimes we just need to look in the mirror and smile and get the lemon out of our mouth. Get the joy. You need to have joy. Yes. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I couldn't give a rip what you're going through. The answer is always better than the problem. So get out of the problem and get in the answer. You don't have to stay in the problem. If you want it turned, be willing to turn. If you want it changed, you be willing to change. If you want to go in the right direction, get on the right road. If you want to go in the right direction, listen to your wife. You got that scripture? What you got?
The scripture you were looking for.
Oh, yeah, listen. Oh, this is good. This is message. Job chapter 5. starting verse 8. He said, if I were in your shoes. You got that message? Job chapter 5, starting with verse 8. If not, I can go ahead and read it. You got it? Okay. I told someone, they're slow, but that's all right. I told someone one day, I said, I might be old, but I sure am slow. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all, Gene said he got, listen to this. He said, if I were in your shoes, I'd go straight to God. not to anything else. You go, when you know you're facing a problem, don't go to anything else. He said, I'd go straight to God. I'd throw myself on the mercy of God. After all, keep going. He's famous. He's famous for great and unexpected acts. I love this. Trisha's always saying this. God's going to surprise me. God, and he has. He surprised her several times. I walk out and say, boo, you're surprised. No. There's no end to his surprises. Let's go ahead. He gives rain, for instance, across the wide earth. He sends water to irrigate the fields. He raises up the down and out. He'll raise you up out of your circumstances. He'll get you out of your circumstances. But you're going to have to allow him to. Amen. He gives firm footing to those sinking in grief. You don't have to wallow in grief. What does the scripture say? Jesus carried, he's carried our grief and sorrow. He's carried our grief and sorrow. Amen. He aborts the schemes of conniving crooks so that none of their plots come to term. He catches the know-it-alls. How many has ever been around a know-it-all? They know it all. I mean, they know it all. You ask them, well, they know it all. And you find out the more they talk, you find out how stupid they are. And then he goes on, what am I at? He catches the know-it-alls in their conspiracies. All that intricate intrigue swept out with trash. Suddenly, they're disoriented, plunged into darkness. They can't see to put one foot in front of the other. But the downtrodden are saved by God, saved from the murderous plots, saved from the iron fist. And so the poor continue to hope while injustice is bound and gagged. Isn't that good? You don't have to stay in the mully grubs. Whose choice is it? It's mine. You can't be. You cannot blame your circumstances on anybody else. If you're born again, if you are a Christian person, you cannot. And I can take you to Word and show you. You cannot blame your circumstances on anybody else. Nobody. Why? Because the scripture says those who are engrafted in Christ Jesus, they are a brand new creature. The old spiritual and moral has passed away. The only way it's going to get brought up is if your mouth brings it up. If your mouth, all but this. No. That's forgiven. That's past. That's gone. It's gone. Yesterday is gone. Thank God. A minute ago is gone. You cannot blame anyone of your circumstances other than yourself. Your words determine your destiny. Your words frame the world that you live in. Yeah, but. No, kick the butt out of the way. Get the butt out of the way. God, I see. I see what I see. All the things I've said. I see. God, I repent. I repent. I'm changing my vocabulary. I'm changing my words. I'm changing my destiny. Yeah. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. How many give me just 5 more minutes? I got 5 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, Judy. Hallelujah. Go to Micah. I'll finish with this. I'll try to. Micah and chapter 7 and verse 8. Micah chapter 7 verse 8. I'll finish with this. Listen to this. He says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. So the enemy is trying to come against you. The enemy is constantly attacking. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. You might knock me down, but I'm going to get up. You want to fight? You better bring your lunch because we're going to be here a while. It's going to be an all-day affair. You knock me down, I'm getting up. I will get up. He says, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. When I fall, I shall arise. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the scripture said God will raise up a standard. He will breathe against that. Can you imagine the breath of God stopping a flood? It said, like, didn't say a flood comes, said he's going to come in like a flood. How many's ready to get up? How many's ready for God to turn some things around? I said, how many's ready for God to turn some things around? I'm ready. I'm ready. Trisha and I are ready for God to turn some things around. We've just made decisions. That's God, turn it around. Turn it. Turn it. Turn it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.